please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Wow, those words really seem to connect with my soul today. We live in a fast-paced world, don't we? And we need to know that everything doesn't depend on us. That there is a God who loves us, who created all of the heavens and the earth, and ultimately, amen, He's in charge. And ultimately, we can rest in His holiness, rest in His strength, rest in His peace. Doesn't mean that we won't go through trials here on earth, but it does mean that His love is steadfast. And we'll get through this, amen? We will get through this. So I think sometimes we look up at God and wonder why certain things are going on in our lives, and we wonder why He doesn't fix it. But remember that His plan for us has always been righteousness and holiness. And we just haven't completely tuned into that. We didn't in the Garden of Eden. We decided we'd try it our own way when God said, don't eat from that tree. And Eve went over and took a bite and gave one to Adam. And Adam said, oh, that looks pretty good. And ever since then, we have been born with this tendency to try it on our own for a while. And God doesn't stop loving us when we do that, but rather He reminds us, I love you and I have a better way. I have a better plan for your life. And so this morning, I just believe that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to all of our lives at the point of our need, because we're all coming from different places, aren't we? Some of us are struggling with some health stuff, and some are struggling with some spiritual questions, others stuff at work, and you know, it could just be anything. But I want to encourage you this morning that God is God, and He is bigger than what's a matter. Amen? Amen. So let's proceed in that truth this morning. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me to the book of James, it's you're looking at, you know, Matthew, Luke, John, and just keep going right until you hit Hebrews, and then it's just one more, the book of James, and we'll try to have the scriptures that I reference up here on the screen as well this morning. I'd like to thank our contributing author, John Hamby. I used his outline and kind of helped to give some order, and I also put in, of course, a lot of my own thoughts in my prayer time from in the office as well. We're in a life that has a lot of distractions, aren't we? There's a picture on your bulletin there of kind of what life is like. We know that there's a deeper truth behind it all, and yet it seems like everything going on kind of keeps snatching our attention away from that deeper truth. Does that make sense? And we know that there is more to the story than what we are able to comprehend or live right now, but we understand that the backdrop behind it all is that God has created the heavens and the earth, and that He has a wonderful plan for our life. Amen? And I want to help us this morning through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's doing the work. I'm trying to be a facilitator this morning, but as we get into the Word, acknowledge that we are worshiping the one and only true God. And here's what He has to say. James, this is our third or fourth Sunday in the book of James, and this morning he's helping us understand that our attention deficits, compounded by the distractions of this life, can and do impact our spiritual growth. Every time Satan is successful in drawing your attention away from God, your spiritual growth stops. and you hover for a while. And then, you know, before you know it, 20, 30 years have went along and you realize that you haven't grown spiritually for a long time. And you've wondered where God is. And the fact is, God's been there all along. He's the backdrop of everything that we know and is. It's just that the distractions of life have got us occupied, kept us busy, kept us distracted from the things that really matter. And so we've spent years just kind of scratching the surface of what God has for us without really getting deep. And James wants to take us deep this morning. And I'm not going to tell you that what you're going to hear this morning is easy, because this is tough. If we get to the truth, sometimes the truth, though it's hard, though, we want the truth, because we know that that's where the solid rock is that we can build a life on. Amen? So let's move ahead. We must be constantly aware of our need to constantly focus, like an autofocus camera. Do you have one of those? Like, we've all got a cell phone. If you put it on camera mode, that you can pan it around the room, and it's going to try to focus. It's going to try to focus on everything until it finds the subject matter that you're going to take a picture of. And that's what we need to do. We need to be like that autofocus camera that continues to search for God in every situation of our life. Amen? It's like you can see God in even the worst of situations. You can see what He's going to do. You can see that He has a positive outcome. You can see that He's going to work in a constructive way to mend the brokenness. Amen? If you just focus on God. And that's what James wants to help us do this morning. Well, why would I want to move ahead in my spiritual life? Well, there's three things here. First of all, there's life as we move ahead in our spiritual walk. Let's just read James 1:21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you, bring you life. Salvation, we understand as life, life eternal. Not only life for eternity, but also for here today. Another reason that we want to move ahead in our spiritual life is we will find effectiveness and blessing. I think all of us could understand and could identify with what it feels like to be frustrated in our effectiveness. Sometimes it happens in our careers, in our jobs. We feel like we're working hard, it's just not getting anywhere. And Bill said something this morning about distraction. If you look at the word distraction, you find the word traction in there. Distraction is losing traction. It's when we begin to feel like we're not being effective in what we're doing. Something's wrong. There's a leak in my bucket. I couldn't help but remember when Scott Sherwood, our district superintendent, came. I just got to refer to this because I love the illustration. He says, I can get filled up with God in the morning, and then by afternoon, I just don't feel as full anymore. And he says, I discovered it's because I leak. And that's another way of saying we can be distracted. And to keep that traction, we've got to stay focused. Amen. Another thing that James wants to help us with is we'll find meaning in life. James 1:26. Well, let me read this first. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Now let's look on to meaning. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. We're going to talk about the tongue in a few moments and keeping a tight rein on it, but I want to focus on the last part of that verse. He deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Now, if you came today to be a part of religion, you're in the wrong place. This is not religion that we are teaching this morning. We are showing Jesus Christ for who He is. However, throughout the centuries, humanity has tried to give what it means to become a Christian and follow Christ, or to give your whole heart to someone, and we've called that religion. Okay, so religion is not a bad word. It can be a good word as long as it's referring to the right thing. And that is that God is first, and we're aligning everything else up under His lordship. Amen? James talks about a mirror, and we're going to talk about that. I wanted to use an illustration. As most of you know, I'm a barber there in Polo. And I just wanted to take a picture of the mirror that makes some of my work look terrible. I can do my best work, and I usually cut hair with my back toward the mirror because the customer can watch the television that way. And I'm working away, and it's looking pretty good. And then I did a flat top yesterday. It looked really good from the back. You know what I mean? And I was just convinced that this was probably one of the best flat tops I'd ever done. And I turned him around, and he looked at himself in the mirror, and his flat top was going like this. Now, I don't know why, but that looked just fine to me when I was cutting from the back. But when I looked in the mirror reveals the truth. There is an aspect to looking in the mirror, to looking at the reflection, to seeing things in a different light. The mirror is used by James to help us understand that when we look to the mirror of God, we see ourselves for who we really are. The mirror of the Word of God. The mirror in our daily life is meant to remind us, don't go out looking like that. Amen. Did your mirror tell you that this morning? The mirror is used as a powerful illustration to help us understand that the Word of God is our moral mirror, which the Holy Spirit uses in our lives to enable us to see ourselves for who we really are. You see, as long as we continue to compare ourselves to other people, we'll always feel pretty good. Because there's always somebody a little worse off than we are. Always somebody making, you know, decisions that aren't panning out so well. And we can look at them and say, I'm not doing so bad. At least I'm not doing as bad as that person. But you see, the problem with that is we're comparing ourselves with the wrong thing, with the wrong person. And in fact, it's not even about comparing ourselves. It's about seeing ourselves for who we really are. And the beautiful divine intervention is this. God says, when you look at yourself and see yourself where you really are, if it brings brokenness, if it brings, because you're seeing yourself in a broken sin state, and that always brings brokenness in our lives. God simply reminds us this morning that as we look into the mirror and see ourselves, He wants us to see His Son Jesus. That begins by giving Him our lives in confession and saying, Lord, I need You. When I look in the mirror, I'm scared to death what I see. What's looking back at me is brokenness and hurt and hang-ups and habits. Lord, this stuff has taken me down. But isn't it wonderful that the Holy Spirit reminds us that who we are and who we've been isn't who we have to be in the future? He has a better way and a better plan for us. Amen. And it begins by placing the image of His Son in us at salvation, by granting to us full and free salvation, paying the price for our sins. The view we get is not what we think based on experience or what others think based on their observations. When we look into the mirror of the Word of God, we see us as God sees us. Let's look at James 1, 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. In other words, you could come this morning and listen to the Word of God. You're doing that right now. We all are. James says, don't just listen, And if you just listen, you're just deceiving yourselves. In other words, when you see it and you acknowledge it, there's more to it than that. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Summed up in these, in this scripture, this simple scripture, are a few R's. Here's four of them. We need to remember what we have learned from the Word. Remember what we've learned from the Word. We need to review what we've learned from the Word. We need to refer back to our source book, and we need to reflect. Not our image at ourselves and just be so pleased with what we're seeing in the mirror, but rather, it is the image of God. Remember, the Bible says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And until I somehow look in that mirror and not see John anymore, but rather see the image of Jesus Christ, Jesus is still working on me. And he's going to work on me until I get to heaven and probably continue to do so. But you see, if I'm pleased with what I see in the mirror and I'm not seeing God, we understand that life will break us down at some point. And that image that we have of ourselves developed with a false sense of pride, well, life will just kind of hammer that out of us. Life has a way of just bringing the truth to the top. And eventually, we see that we need God. And the good news is he's here for us. Amen. Being in the Word begins to change our behavior immediately because it's changing us, not superficially, but on the inside. Amen. It's a deep interchange at the very core of who we are. Let's look at James 1, 19 through 27. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. This is how life begins to change as we come to God. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word of God planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man, and we've just read that. If we look at the mirror, the word of God, and then just go ahead and live our life again, forgetting what it says, we've missed the point again, and we've let distractions pull our attention away from God. In short, everyone, the Bible says, and here in James, should be quick to listen and slow to speak. You know, James seems to indicate that if you are going to major something in something and minor in something, we did that in college. We were forced to choose a major and a minor. And the first semester, I was like, I have no idea. I don't know what I want to major in, and I don't know what my minor should be in. But James says, in regards to behavior, all of us should major in listening and minor in speaking. That means when people think about us, they ought to think that rather than having something to say into our lives, they're going to listen first. Isn't that powerful? Because pride in us wants to speak first, doesn't it? It wants that pride in us wants to bubble up and be heard. But James says it's more important that you listen. You know, when you look at Jesus, he doesn't appear to be a noisy character. He doesn't appear in the Gospels to be disruptive and noisy. He appears rather to be a man that was willing to listen And James says that that is a powerful thing, that as we accept Jesus into our life, we will begin to major on listening and minor on speaking. Now, speaking is important. I'm up here filling the air with words this morning. It's important. Don't get me wrong. But listening is even more important. Slow to speak and slow to become angry. James says, because anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. You know, when we become angry, and what I mean by anger, there's a righteous anger and a prideful anger. When we become angry and that pride rises up in us, it means that we are seeing ourselves, or we're putting ourselves in the place of God. Because if I have to force and make things happen, we're putting ourselves in a sense of, I've got to take complete control. And if I have to use force to do it, I'm going to do it. Anger, that kind of anger, does not produce the righteousness that God desires. He goes on, he says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Humbly accept the word of God and plant it in you, which can save you. There's a worksheet in your bulletin. It looks like this, except it is in the My Takeaway for the Day section. If anybody needs a bulletin and doesn't have one, would you raise your hand? Okay, we're all covered. Good. So we're going to trek along here with the worksheet if you would like to. It's something you can put on your refrigerator and help you remember what we talked about this morning. The first step that we take is that we must be receptive to God's word. Receptive to God's word. James 1:21 says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word of God planted in you. What's happening this morning is the Holy Spirit is planting his word in all of us. Praise God. And he invites us to accept it this morning, to be receptive to the word, humbly accepting it. The word literally translated means to receive. It means to welcome. It means to welcome the word of God into our life. It has a connotation of hospitality. The word is used for how we receive others into our homes. It's used for also how we are to receive the word, to welcome the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, into our life. It's a life characterized by humility, openness, and receptivity. Just like you welcome people into your home, we welcome the Word of God into our lives, and we accept it and receive it. To adequately prepare our hearts, James gives us four guidelines we need to model. These behaviors will enable us to accept the Word and receive full benefit. First of all, a capacity to listen is in your handout. A capacity to listen. We must be quick to hear the word of truth. Swift, quick to hear, refers to being alert in our ears. Now, not just your ears, but your heart. And that we understand that what he's saying is, refers to our ears, but it also refers to our heart, being open to the Holy Spirit. Quick to hear. An attentive ear, listening for what God has to say. And I hope that you came this morning in anticipation that God is going to speak. Anticipating and welcoming his voice. You probably wouldn't be here if you weren't. You see, we can physically hear his word. We're doing that this morning, and then just not even accept it because, again, we're distracted. I want to encourage you to move beyond the distractions and focus on Jesus this morning. He has a word for us. We not only have to concentrate on the facts, we have to concentrate on the attitude of our hearts as we come. There's some things that keep us from hearing. I love how James just kind of keeps on hammering. He says we need to control our tongue. We need to be slow to speak. One of the things that keeps us from hearing is that sometimes we're just talking too much. Sometimes, instead of hearing God, we're We're telling God what needs to happen. I love what Mother Teresa said. She was a woman of prayer, and someone asked her one time, "What do you pray? What do you pray all these hours of every day? What is it you pray for?" She says, "Mostly I just listen." Amen. James says that we need to be slow to speak. We can't be effective listeners if we're doing all the talking. Often we don't try to hear what someone is saying because we're not listening. We might ask them, "How you doing?" And they might be ready to pour their heart out. But because you're not really listening, we're not really listening, they're pouring their heart out. You've already moved on, asking somebody else how they're doing it. James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. That's how we begin to hear the word of God planted in us. The next thing is a calm demeanor or temperament. We need to cultivate a calm spirit. A calm spirit. Ooh. We need to be slow to anger, James says. He not only tells us we need to be slow to anger, but the wrath, this kind of anger, does not produce the righteousness that God desires in our life. And when we are angry and we move in anger, seeking to control and seeking to be Lord over this problem, that I'm just going to make it work, God says that you're missing the point again, but I will help you. So we need to calm down. Amen? We can't communicate with an angry person. You might have tried, but it doesn't work very good, does it? They're not tuning in to you. They are gonna take control of the situation and fix it. And the problem with that is anger sometimes, yeah, it gets things done, but a lot of times it gets the wrong thing done. And then there's a bigger mess to fix later. Did you know that being upset with what you hear can actually block your capacity to possess and hear the truth? Man, I've seen this so many times. Once in a while, you have to work with an individual who is really angry, and you can seek to try to calm them down, and you can speak words of truth into their lives, but they are not hearing it because they are so angry. I mean, literally. Physically or in their heart, not hearing it. And I got to be honest, I've been there. There's been times I've been angry enough to just not hear the truth. We've all been there. But the Holy Spirit reminds us through James this morning that we don't have to do life that way. We can calm down, amen? Because that takes an amazing amount of effort to control everything. James says, calm down. Have a calm spirit. If you don't, calm your spirit down and let God speak to you. Even when the word is uncomfortable, you'll never hear the word. So we want to focus in on hearing the word. Instead, James says, cultivate a calm spirit. It means getting into the word. It means getting alone with God. It means spending time listening instead of talking. It means stop telling God everything that He needs to do and start listening for what we need to do. Amen? Oh, that's good. When we're looking to get even and sometimes even to get ahead, we feel resentment, bitterness, and sometimes even hatred. These things, these feelings can become barriers to communication, and God can't. Well, He could, but He doesn't. He respects you and me. He's not going to overpower with force. When He speaks quietly. We have to turn down the noise in our lives so that we hear Him. That's just who He is. Let's calm down so we can hear Him. He also reminds us that we need to have a clean life. That's next on your handout. That's another thing that we need to work on, James says. He says, get rid of all moral filth. Everything that doesn't line up with the Holy Spirit's plan for our life, get rid of it. Now, you and I both know that sometimes these things run pretty deep. In fact, they've run so deep that
we have come to figure out that, or we think that that's who we are now. For instance, let's be careful not to give anybody a label. Amen. They may be working through a habit or a hurt or some hang up, and let's not give them a title for that's what they are or that's what they do and replace and give them that instead of who they are in Christ. Amen. Christ sees us for who we are, and let's see each other and the world for who He sees them to be. You're going to love this. The word for filth is actually has a Greek root that means earwax. And so James is saying, just like you would clear the earwax out of your ears, clear the moral filth out of your life. By the way, don't use Q-tips in your ears. They say that you're supposed to put nothing smaller than your elbow in your ear, and I can't seem to do that. Would somebody help me? I don't know what that means, but don't put anything any smaller than that in your ear. So don't do what he did. Q-tips. The point is, clear all the moral filth out. The wax, the crud. How deep do you want me to go here? I had my ears cleaned about 2 years ago by Dr. Iyer. He did it in his office. I couldn't believe the stuff that came out of my ears. Some of you are grinning because you know what can come out of our ears. That's a wonderful picture. Well, anyway. So, we must be willing to get rid of everything in our lives that is morally filthy so that we can hear God. Clear it out. We need to develop a capacity to hear God. We need to develop an ability to hear God. It means that until we clear out the moral filth, we're just going to be distracted by the habit. And it's that habit's just going to keep on, that hang-up or that hurt is just going to keep on distracting us. And we'll spend years distracted by that hurt, hang-up, or habit, all the while knowing that God has something wonderful in store for us just behind the distraction. So we focus on Him like an autofocus camera, looking for God in each and every situation in our life, because He's there. He doesn't cause the problems, but He is there as the solution, waiting to be asked for help. Amen. Praise God. Finally, we need to live a life in obedience to the Word of God. And okay, secondly, we must be submissive to the Word, submissive to God's Word. Let's look at James 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the Word. We've read this. I'll just let it be there so you can read it. The first step of being submissive to the Word is to be receptive to God's Word. And the second is to be submissive. And there's three ways to do that. Number one, it requires examination. Requires examination. James speaks of looking intently into the perfect law of God. I love James' choice of words here. James uses looking intently into the Word of God. Once again, it's a word picture. It's the same word that he uses for James and John after Jesus rose from the dead. They went running to the tomb. Remember that in Scripture? And they bent down and looked in. That's the same word that James uses. To look intently into the Word. To look intently. To get down and look like, whoa! To focus. I think there's a picture there, if you want to put that up, the next picture there, Cody. By the way, doing a wonderful job back there. Brad is at a camp or a fair board meeting this weekend in Springfield. And Cody, you're doing a great job. Thank you so much for all your work this morning. James invites us to stoop down and look into, like Kate here is looking into the eyes of this little one. The idea here is that we don't merely just look at or glance at the Word of God, but that we sincerely look into it, gaze deeper. And when we've looked at it, we look at it a little closer to make sure that we get what we're looking at, to make sure that we remember, and that when we are no longer looking at it, that it will still be with us, the image of what it means to have looked at that Word of God. We should read the Bible like a love letter. It's been suggested that, you know, we've all probably received love letters, and for some of us it was a long time ago, but, you know, when that significant other wrote you a love letter, man, you could smell him or her. And you knew the connotations that went with the words that they chose to put those words on the letter. And God wants us to read His Word like that, to understand Him, His heart so much that it's more than words on a page. It's His heart. It's His love. It's His grace and plan of salvation for us. It's His way for life. It's His way for us to move ahead beyond the hurts, hang-ups, and habits. James 1:25. But the man who looks intently, there's the word, looks intently into the law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. I suppose the same kind of idea is when you're studying for a test. It's one thing to just know the answers. It's another thing to understand the material. If you just know the answers the day after the test, you won't remember, right? But if you understand the material, it's with you for life. Amen? Looking intently into the law of God, which gives life. It gives freedom, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. So we are to continue looking into the law and remember. We're to remember what we've heard and what we've read. Unless we've studied God's Word and looked intently, we're not going to remember. And unless we know the Word, we're not going to make decisions in reference to what the Word says. Until it becomes integrated into the very decision-making process of our life, it's just something that stands alone over here. But God wants us to see His Word, read His Word, and allow it to become the center of our decision-making process. But you know what? There's so many distractions. By the way, I want to encourage you, when you're here and we are engaged in any kind of teaching and worship, and there's a point of focus, remember that it's important that we don't create distractions. And we may have something that we feel really needs to happen, and I've heard pastors say, if you need to go to the bathroom, go either before or after the service. Because we all know what it's like to be so concentrated, so focused, and it's awesome. And then something happens, and then our mind goes, whoop, squirrel. And we never get back to what God was saying. Let's make sure that we are all facilitating what God's wanting to do here. Amen? By not creating distractions during worship. And anytime there's teaching going on, but that's just here. There's distractions everywhere. There's distractions, I would call, right, social media an incredible distraction right now. I've found even in my own life that when I'm talking to someone, I want to check my phone and see if there's any messages. And they're talking to me and I'm you know what I'm saying? I'm distracted. And it shouldn't be that way. Video games can become a distraction to taking out the garbage. Social media can become a distraction to doing the dishes. Entertainment can become a distraction to being productive. You understand what I'm saying? Sure. But the point is that there is so many distractions in our life, we really got to work at focusing on what God has for us, because that's where the life is. Otherwise, we'll live distracted all of our lives and look back and wonder where the time went, and I just lived life. Didn't really do anything that is going to leave a legacy. I didn't really make an impact. Let's start now. And that's why we're here today. One of the things I've been doing this week is listening to the book of Job in the Message translation. I've shared with you before, I struggle with, what's that word? Insomnia? Because when I lay down to rest, now I can go to sleep in my chair pretty good. I'm like the best. I can go, I'd be out. But I get laid down in bed and my brain starts to go 100 miles an hour. I think about all the things that are going on, and I need to not be distracted by all the stuff, and I need to focus. And you know what does it for me? Audiobooks. They're free on YouTube. Well, I mean, we don't want to violate copyright, but they're out there. You know what is good to listen to and what's not. You got to be your own moral discretion there in regards to what you're going to listen to. But I've been listening to the Message translation of the Bible, and this week I've been listening to Job. And you know what? As we listen to the Word, I'm reminded of who God is and all the stuff going on that I feel like is, you know, working on me. Thank God His Word overcomes that. That's one of the things that's been helping me lately. Well, next, it requires a response. One final way that we can apply the Word is to respond to it. Jesus tells us in verse 22, "Do not merely listen to the Word, but do what it says." And in verse 25, he says, "You will be blessed if you don't simply just hear it, but do it." We must personally respond to the Word. It applies to us. You see, here's the problem. Many times we hear the Word, and that's happening here this morning, and we acknowledge that we've heard the Word, we acknowledge that it's true, but then we stop short of doing it. And we wonder where the wheels came off. That's where it's at. The Word applies to each of us, and God desires to bless. Our obedience beautifully opens up a pathway for God to continue blessing our lives. James tells us that if we're not willing to put the Word into practice, we're like someone who looks in the mirror and then turns away and then immediately forgets what he looks like. It's kind of funny when we think about it. But that's what we do to the Word sometimes. Next, we must be moved by God's Word. Moved by God's Word. A.W. Tozer put it this way: "It appears to me that too many Christians want to enjoy the thrill of the feeling of being right, but are not willing to endure the inconvenience of living right." Oh, that hit me. Let me read that again. "It appears to me that too many Christians want to enjoy the thrill of feeling right, but are not willing to endure the inconvenience of living right." Man, that just nails it. One final step in this process that James gives us today is we must allow ourselves to be moved to act. He's talking here of putting the Word to practice. You see, we must not only respond to the Word, but we must find practical ways to do it. I love this next picture. "Guard your tongue," he says. Very practical. Guard your tongue. That's right. James says your religion is worthless unless if you're not guarding your tongue.
That pony looks like a stinker. I'm just saying.
Keep a tight rein on it. He's already told us that we are to be slow to speak.
What he is saying here is somewhat different. He is saying that we need to control our speech. I've even seen some lip gloss for gossipers. James knows that if we learn to control our tongue, we can harness most of our other behavior as well. James also says, I'm coming in for a landing here. Worship team, would you come on up? That we are to give to others. I love this because it's so practical. James says, true religion that God sees as beautiful and practical, true religion is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress or in their trouble. In other words, we are to live out the Word of God in practical ways that mean we care about each other. It's been one of the things that Christians have done pretty good with over the years. God is the final judge, but Christians have went into countries for 2,000 years that no one else would go to and built hospitals and orphanages and homes for the elderly and many other social institutions designed to care for the needs of others. It's been the church that has preceded government programs like Social Security and welfare. It's been the church that has always been first on the ground. And let's not forsake that place, amen? Let's make sure that we're continuing to minister to the orphans and widows, to the elderly, to the hungry, to those addicted, to those working through hurts, hang-ups, and habits. It is our role as Christians because we have all been there. And quite honestly, we're all working our way, not to earn our salvation, but God is doing a work in us. Well, we're still human. But look what He's done. Amen? He is delivering us and bringing us life. People matter to God, and people matter to us as well. One of the ways to act on the Word is to have compassion for people and to do something to help. It doesn't have to be huge. You don't have to support them for life. But the Holy Spirit is faithful to guide us. We see things to do that we could do. And you know, it really makes a difference to the person who is in need. And if we all do our part, we're fulfilling the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And like St. Francis of Assisi said, if necessary, use words. Just some questions to end with this morning. What from today, or the last blank on your fill-in there is guard your life. Keep oneself from becoming, or keep oneself unspotted, or keep yourself from being polluted by the world. In other words, live a clean life. Keep your life clean. Guard it. Be careful. Watch out. Watch what you do. Watch what you allow. Don't become distracted. Don't let anything keep you from having a clean heart and a pure, clean mind before God. So, from today, what do you hear the Holy Spirit saying that is time for you to put into practice? What has God said to you this morning? How are you doing with your listening skills? What in your life has kept you from really being able to serve God like you've wanted to? What are you willing to do about it? And has God told you or invited you to calm down?
Is there too much anger in your life? Would you make a commitment today to get a handle on that? That takes not just intentional effort on our part, but it takes a willingness to let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. Or perhaps God has spoken to you about a sin that you're ready to lay down. It could be a sin of commission or omission, a sin that you've thought, I'll get to it. I need to do that. I need to do that thing. But we need to be careful not to keep giving ourselves permission year after year after year. God says, today's the day. You need to do that. And if we don't do it, it becomes a sin of omission, something that we're supposed to do, but we're just never getting around to it. Oh, aren't you glad God loves us? Amen? He's got his hands full working with us. But you know, he loves us, and he has a wonderful plan for our life. Let's not miss it because we've been distracted. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for your work in our lives this morning. We thank you that you are calling us to focus, not just on solving problems, which is okay, but rather you've called us to first and foremost focus on who you are, and everything else will work itself out. Father, help us to not only be hearers of the word, but to be doers as well. And Lord, thank you for the ministry of your word today. Your word has been powerful and effective. Help us now to follow you in obedience, to trust and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting. What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus.
leaning on the everlasting.